Hello and welcome back to Europe Now. In this part of the show, we're going to take a slightly more horizontal view of levelling up in Bulgaria, Romania, and in northern France. But first, let's stay a bit longer in Bulgaria. Here, EU cohesion funding has been approved for a six-year period up until 2027, and the EU's post-COVID recovery fund is being described as a golden opportunity for this country to modernize and reform. I'm at the Technology and Innovation Park in Sofia, which is symbolic of the kind of modernization that the European Union is encouraging. And we're going to talk a bit more about EU funds in Bulgaria with Professor Ingrid Šikova, who teaches European Studies at the University of Sofia. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Nice
on the program.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So what is this tech park? Tell us a bit about this.
Frankly said, I like very much this place because, as you see, these were old military barracks.
This building there, for example?
Yes, some of other buildings were transformed in modern technological park for young people, for young researchers, for young entrepreneurs.
If you take a bird's eye view of European funds in Bulgaria over these last 16 years, what do you think has been achieved or any particular failures?
The membership of Bulgaria in the European Union was really a historical event for Bulgaria during this period. And concerning the funds, for me, the funds is solidarity. But solidarity doesn't mean charity. This is a contract for joint responsibility. And I think that we did a lot of progress. Of course, it was possible to do better. I'll tell you about the poverty. This year, 2023, the level of poverty is fixed on about 500 leva, exactly 258 euros. 22% of the population receive revenue which is less than this 258 euros. And main group of this poverty group, I must say, are the retired people, the old people.
Because the older you are in Bulgaria, there's a higher chance of being poor than in other EU countries.
Yes, and it creates problems. Of course, people who are unemployed, also people in the Roma population, they do not have enough skills, enough competences to find a job.
So as Professor Šikova was saying, the Roma community faces particular challenges, and that's the case not only in Bulgaria, but also in neighbouring Romania. When those two countries joined the EU 16 years ago, the plan was to improve the lot of minorities, including of the Roma communities in both countries. But as Luke Brown in Romania finds out, there's still a long way to go.
Easter egg hunting at the Baker de Jos primary school, around half the village here, is from the Roma community, a minority that makes up over 8% of the Romanian population. These children receive extracurricular support because one of their parents is absent, with many fathers working abroad for months at a time. The kids aren't the only ones to benefit from the support. Counseling for single mothers helps change mentalities.
When we had our kids and when they were still small, we couldn't really afford to send them to school. But now that we're helped by the teachers, it allows us to go further.
A quarter of Roma men can't read or write, so the program also runs second chance classes for adults to study for a high school diploma. From kids to grown-ups, the goal is to reduce the dropout rate. Last year, only 22% of Roma students finished high school.
There's a lot of absenteeism and dropping out when it comes to the pupils that are outside of the project. They're excluded because they don't meet the criteria, because their parents are not working abroad. So they're stuck at home, and they often ask us why they can't take part with us. And we have to tell them it's because the project is for kids whose parents are away. And that's when we see pupils dropping out.
This programme is run by the Roma Education Fund with €800,000 provided by the EU. Here the NGO is working hand in hand with the Romanian school system, at times fighting to change teachers' prejudices too.
What we are trying to do is try to provide for a friendly environment for Roma children in an inclusive school in order for them to feel like they belong to the school. We are actually teaching the teachers in order to build on their capabilities, delivering the same educational content, but rather to try to act in a more friendly manner towards Roma children.
Across the EU, €2.5 billion of the European Social Fund Plus is now set aside for supporting marginalised communities, including the Roma. But despite that, the Roma community still suffers the consequences of poverty. Life expectancy for Roma remains a decade shorter than the EU average. As they present a film about the Roma identity at the British Embassy, community leaders say that aid has been misdirected.
Not much has changed, but a lot of money has been poured in. So the only conclusion is that it has been poured in the wrong direction. But the solutions are not coming from here. The solutions are coming from the grassroots. The solutions are coming from the people, not chosen, elected by us from Bucharest or something like that. No.
Bucharest didn't wait for EU membership to act on Roma exclusion. In 1992, Romania initiated affirmative action, reserving hundreds of university seats for Roma students each year. Ekaterina Ciupaca is one. Her good grades mean not only did she not need the reserved seat, but at 21 years of age, she's also a role model for the community.
When I got back to my home, I met some teenagers, and they were asking me, where have you gone? I didn't see you for such a long time. And I said, I'm a Bucharest, I'm studying Romani and English. And they were like, oh, really? There is a university for us? And I was like, yes, if you want to come, we're waiting you. Oh, yes. I can be an influence, a good one.
Since 2007, Romania has been a net beneficiary of €41 billion in EU funds. But Romania still has the highest share of people living at risk of poverty in the EU. In April, EU commissioners announced €31.5 billion in new cohesion funds for Romania. Half of that is set aside for reducing poverty and improving access to employment for all across the country.
I'm at the Technical University of Sofia, and we're going to talk a bit more about how these various EU funds are used. And I'm with the person in charge of managing those funds in the Bulgarian government, Mr. Atanas Pekanov. Hello.
Hello, bonjour.
Bonjour. You're also the Deputy Prime Minister of Bulgaria.
Yes.
Tell us about this room.
This is one of the big projects we have. It is funded with cohesion policy funds, and it is directed at having new machinery, new high-tech equipment for scientists in Bulgaria, for business in Bulgaria, for startups in Bulgaria, for researchers. This is important because on one hand, it unlocks the potential of the economy by providing opportunities to produce high value-added manufacture, but also it unlocks the potential of Bulgarian talents.
And we can see EU flags quite a lot. What was the actual influx of EU money for this sort of thing?
Bulgaria has received considerable funding from cohesion policy and will receive even more so now with the new Recovery and Resilience Fund in the coming years. And it is good that the new Recovery and Resilience Plan comes not only with important investments as this one, but also with reforms, conditionalities that we improve our laws, we set higher standards so that we can achieve more. So having a more effective judiciary system, having more effective anti-corruption practices, our government, the Technic government, has prepared the draft laws that will make this happen. They are part of the Recovery and Resilience Plan. Now we have the draft laws. We have consulted them with the European Commission. Once Parliament adopts them, we'll have a much stronger anti-corruption framework judiciary system. But there are important reforms in many other areas in the economy. Decarbonization, achieving the goals of the Green Deal and the green transformation.
I gather there's a particular coal-fired power station which is the subject of negotiations now.
Some of the commitments that are part of the recovery plan that were made before the war started last year and before the energy situation intensified last year were not very easy or actually quite unrealistic to meet in this winter. Why? Because coal-fired power plants, which are a huge part of the Bulgarian energy mix, they delivered electricity not only for Bulgaria but for other Balkan countries as well. We exported immense amounts of electricity last year after the interruption of gas supplies and the overall intensity of the energy situation in Europe. They were an important element of our energy stability. So as the war continues and as the energy situation continues to be quite intensified in Europe, we'll have to maybe rethink some of those commitments on closing the coal-fired power plants.
Our reporters Sophie Samai and Luke Brown went to northern France. That area used to have a very big coal mining industry, which is now closed. With the help of EU funds, that area is now being revitalized.
With each delivery, Jacques Deveau carefully inspects the new stock. In this depot in Lille, the Central Food Bank for Northern France provides supplies for 180 charities.
That's from the EU's FEAD.
Nearly a third of the 400 tons of food in this warehouse comes from the EU's Fund for European Aid for the Most Deprived, the FEAD.
The FEAD is the basis for everything we provide. It's important because it provides a regular supply of items that we need all the time.
Poverty in the Hauts-de-France region in the north of the country is close to 18%, 3.5% higher than the French average. In the wake of the COVID crisis and faced with rising inflation, more and more people rely on food banks to fill the gap, with much of it coming from the EU.
Before, it was 40 recipients a week. Now we're up to 55 for each delivery. That's three times a week.
The Hauts-de-France is the second poorest region in the country. It's outside of the big cities that the daily struggles are most visible. The abandoned factories are a testament to the region's rich industrial past and its sharp current decline. Here in the small town of Anor, the steelworks and glass factories are mostly shuttered, the local industrial wealth a shadow of its former self. Unemployment peaked at 22% a decade ago, but since then, for the mayor, rehabilitating the disused factories has delivered a vital sense of municipal pride.
The area wasn't very nice. People didn't like to come here. But we said to ourselves, there's something we can build on here. So when the EU accepted our application, it was really a boost. And it allowed us to imagine a future for this area and realize our goals.
In all, the European Regional Development Fund provided 1.9 million euros for Anor, creating a brand new housing district in the old workers' terraces. Homes for low-income families, social clubs, and a handful of businesses now breathe new life into the old industrial buildings. Bernadette is one beneficiary. She raised two children alone in a small apartment. Now she lives comfortably in a social lodging in the new neighbourhood.
I feel privileged. These houses are really well appointed. They're really good looking, spacious. The rent is low and so are the energy costs.
A dozen families have benefited from the new housing project. For the period 2021 to 2027, the Hauts-de-France region is set to receive 1.1 billion euros from the EU Cohesion Fund. At the other end of the street, another EU-funded eco-district is already being built.
Well, we're now back in the Bulgarian capital, Sofia, far away from those former coal mines of northern France. And I'm in the metro, the underground system of Sofia, with the head of the EU office here in the Bulgarian capital, Svetan Kulanov. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you.
So this station is called European Union. What's behind that?
Well, first of all, Europe has financed a lot of the development of the metro system in Sofia. And I would say it's one of the flagship projects that cohesion policy has realized in Bulgaria. it gives a lot of transportation opportunities. It has led to a huge development in Sofia, because if you look at the development of Sofia, it is actually above the EU average in terms of income for citizens, which is quite amazing, you know, for a period of 15 years or so. A lot remains to be done. Discrepancies between the capital and the other regions are very big. We have incomes of around 30% of the average in the poorest regions of the country.
But to make sure that people aren't left behind, you need a higher absorption rate, don't you, of EU funds? It's a few percentage points below the EU average.
This is the point that we are making and we're discussing, you know, with the authorities. This is the cohesion policy. But also on the just transition, there is over 1 billion euros that are available and that really can benefit those citizens, the Bulgarian citizens, on the ground. And time is running out. Because of the rules that we have, action has to be taken practically this year.
And we're standing next to a sign of the euro. When do you think Bulgaria is going to join the eurozone? If you look into your crystal ball.
As soon as possible, and we are working on this a lot. There were some opportunities that the last Bulgarian parliament actually missed. So now we hope that with a new one, we will have the opportunity to pass all the necessary legislation. And then it's also about numbers. You know, inflation is still high. We need to have clarity on how much money will be spent, how much money will come into, because also member states need to have reassurances that a country will be a valuable and stable member of the Eurozone.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Europe Now. We hope you enjoyed our reports from Bulgaria, Romania, and from northern France. We'll be back in the next few months from another location in the European Union. Meanwhile, if you'd like to see this episode or any of the others in our series, just go to our website, france24.com, and then click on Talk Shows Europe Now. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you soon.